tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning. Welcome to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellefson. Oh, it's kind of glum and gloomy. What? It's snowing out. Oh, enough already. Ha ha, we get the joke. It's time for spring to begin any second now, please. So before the 8 o'clock news hour, I shared that my guest this morning is the father of a young woman, a 19-year-old, who died in the hospital based on the protocol of the COVID protocol of the hospital. And he joins me this morning, is going to share about an event that's coming up here, coming up in central Wisconsin. Well, I don't know. Is Appleton central Wisconsin? Anyway, Scott Shera is joining me. He's the dad of Grace Shera. Good morning, Scott. Thanks for joining me on the program.
Oh, good morning, Meg. Thank you very much for having me.
So, Appleton, let's just, before we dive into this, you know, I'm not a native to Wisconsin, and so I never know. Is Appleton included in the central Wisconsin umbrella?
I don't think so. I think it would be considered northeast.
Okay, all right.
Fox Valley, northeast Wisconsin.
Gotcha. All right, yeah, I should look at a map every once in a while. But well, Scott, I'm so glad that we connected, and I mentioned, too, that our mutual friend Vicki McKenna was able to get us connected last night, and on the fly I changed my programming because it's a very important story that I believe our listeners need to hear, and in particular to honor your dear sweet daughter Grace. And so I'd like for you to take the mic and talk about Grace, and then talk about what happened with her at the hospital when she was hospitalized for COVID.
Sounds good. Feel free to interrupt me as we go. So, sure. Grace, I could talk about the entire time, of course. She was just a great kid. She was 19 years old. She was very high functioning. She had Down syndrome. To give you a perspective of high functioning, my wife taught her how to read and write. I taught her how to drive a car. She was an incredible joke teller. She had a love for the Lord that is I've never seen. I mean, it's something to aspire to, and I've grown in my walk with him because of Grace. And just to give you a perspective of how she had that sense, she called me Earthly Dad, and that was on her own. When she learned, we named her Grace after God's grace, and when she learned of that, she would proudly tell people, I was named after one of God's principles. And She was a true gift. You know, the only way you can frame this to make any sense out of it is that God is sovereign. And so Grace was on loan as an angel from him for 19 years. And you know, we were blessed because of it. And he had a bigger purpose. And I don't know exactly what that is. You know, our sense is we're walking through that purpose right now, and he's using us. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. Where this goes, I don't know. I mean, we're every day. I didn't know that that I'd be doing this full time. That's for sure. And look at what's happening.
I just want to say real quick. I printed out the flyer of the rally. There's a graphic, and I'm going to point our listeners. If you're tuning in right now, my guest this morning is Scott Shera. He's the father of Grace Shera, who is a 19-year-old with Down syndrome that. Was killed, and this is what this flyer says, at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Ascension Hospital, and the website that you can go to for more information is ouramazinggrace.net. And the reason I brought up this flyer is because I see a very small print. I was able to make this out. 1 Samuel 17, verse 47. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. And you already had me tearing up in like your first sentence. So I anticipate it's going to be even more difficult for all of us to hear, but let's talk about what the point in which you realized you needed to bring Grace to the hospital when she contracted COVID.
Yeah, so it was strange that we ended up in the hospital. I say we because I ended up in a hospital 3 days after Grace died, but it's because our oxygen went below 90 and we couldn't maintain it. And we've subsequently found out that Grace and I have a genetic disposition that would cause that. So that's why we took her to the hospital. And one of the main take-home messages, you know, of course, is if I would have known then what I know today, we would have never checked into the hospital. We would have still went to the emergency room, but we would have went home with a prescription for oxygen and a steroid. And Grace would be alive today. And I say that with 100% confidence because the hospital that I went to was not the hospital that killed Grace. And they used a completely opposite protocol. And even though I just about died the first night, they turned me around in 24 hours. So it's a strange set of circumstances. But, you know, if a hospital's agenda is to follow the government bonus protocol and have blinders on, you know, the hospital is not your friend. And that's another take-home message. And then we can dive into the story, which is all of us will probably end up in the hospital at some point in our future. And the time to find out if they've been bought by the government or not is not when you're sitting in the emergency room ready to check in. You need to figure out hospitals in your area that are still following the Hippocratic Oath and that care about patients. So as we dive into the story, because we have limited time, I want to hit the high points. And I really would like to take it off a word that you said, because the flyer says the hospital killed her. And I want to give the listeners a degree of confidence why I would say something that seems pretty out there. And all of this research that I'm going to reference is posted on Grace's website because of the believability factor of the story. The story is so out there that it seems hard to believe. So the high points, we checked into the hospital on October 7th. We had five different times they pushed us for a ventilator on Grace. She never needed a ventilator. It's a request that is backed by bonus money that the hospital receives. And, you know, ventilator is not your friend. They arbitrarily lowered Grace's oxygen numbers through faulty equipment. I was taken out on October 10th by an armed guard. We had to then negotiate with the hospital, even though Grace had a right to an advocate under the American with Disabilities Act. We had to negotiate, hire an attorney to negotiate with the hospital. And so we were 44 hours without an advocate. They put Grace on a sedation drug 4 days before her last day called Presidex. Presidex is an anesthesia drug that all the nurses that we've talked with say it should be used no more than 3 hours. The package insert says 24 hours max, and they put her on it for 4 full days before her last day. During the time without an advocate, they started this when I was in the hospital with her yet. You know, this is such poor communication. We don't even know what's going on. And then while we didn't have an advocate, they ratcheted up the Presidex sevenfold. You know, so, but Grace was still doing good. On October 12th, which was Grace's the day before she died, Jessica, my daughter, was the replacement advocate. And she reported Grace having a great day. Her oxygen was at 98, 99% all through the night. The doctor called us the morning of the 13th, Grace's last day, commenting about how well Grace was doing. And yet what happened that last day, you can't make up. They insisted Jessica leave the hospital to go home and take a shower. During that time, they strapped Grace down to the bed for wanting to go to the bathroom. Just process that. They used that as an excuse to ratchet up the Presidex further. Uh-huh. Then they inserted a feeding tube without waiting for Grace's stats to rebound. Then they ratchet up the Presidex further to maximum dose at 10:48 in the morning. At 10:56, we found through records that a medical malpractice nurse said were missing. When I did the records request, she said there's at least 1,000 pages missing. And she said, they do that. They won't give you everything. So we got it. And we found out at 10:56, so 8 minutes after they maxed out the Presidex, the doctor put a DNR order on Grace without our permission. And this come, we didn't know that at this time, of course. I just found this out on Monday when I was going through the records. And now after, so Jessica was in the room. She said Grace was out of it after max dose of Presidex. Yet they still gave her then 3 doses of lorazepam, an anxiety med. That doesn't make any sense. At 5:46, they gave her a second dose of lorazepam. 5:49, 3 minutes later, a third dose of lorazepam. And at 6:15, they gave her a 2 milligram dose of morphine as an IV push, which means instantly. The package insert for morphine, the package insert is the rules they're supposed to follow. It says to not combine those drugs because they cause death. The package insert also calls out they're supposed to monitor the patient bedside with a reversal drug. They did none of that. In fact, when Jessica noticed Grace was getting cold, all the 14-year ICU nurse who delivered these meds just said to Jessica, that's normal, and told her to cover her with a blanket. Well, that's not normal at all. Jessica called us at 7:20 now on Grace's last day, panicking because her numbers are dropping. And so we said to her, get the nurses in. She said, I can't. They won't come in. She estimated 30 nurses outside in the hallway at this point because of shift change. So Cindy and I start screaming. We're on FaceTime with Jessica. We scream, save our daughter. They holler back, she's DNR. Which is the first time we knew. So now Jessica runs out in the hall to find out what's going on, and the nurse reads off the computer that the doctor put the DNR order in. This is what I told you earlier at 10:56, and that they can't do anything about it. So we scream back, she's not DNR. Save our daughter. They would not come in that room. Grace died 7 minutes later. Everybody that's, so we watched her die on FaceTime at 7:27. Every medical professional who's looked at this has said all they had to do was give her the reversal drug. We have an intensivist who is a specialist in med combinations that wrote me on January 29th after reviewing the records that, Scott, that combination of meds killed your daughter. Meg, you and I could not have survived that. So you wonder why I'm saying killed. You know, I'm getting to the point of really saying intentional. And, you know, that's, you know, ultimately God knows, but we have the doctor who helped us review the records. When she saw this and the pattern, and then you throw in the DNR after the meds, she called it intentional. She wrote to me right after and said, there's no question this was intentional because it's so egregious. You can't make this story up. And it, to make matters even worse, after the fact, when we were talking with Jessica, she explained to us that there was an armed guard posted outside the room. What's the reason? I presume to prevent any nurse with a conscience from coming in and saving Grace. And so, you know, the armed guard was not just a passerby. After Grace died, Jessica crawled in bed with her to hold her. And the armed guard stood outside the nurse's window and watched her for the whole 20 minutes. We found out from this medical malpractice nurse that there was a window after they claimed Grace died, they could have still revived her. And so, you know, that seems to fit the narrative that they wanted to use to take Grace out. So, I mean, that's the story. I mean, it's sick. And, you know, I'm giving you the short version because of time, but.
Well,
do you have any questions?
Well,
questions?
Yeah, I know you have to interview me now because I'm trying to stop crying to do this, but. And, you know, I think about it's the sixth commandment. They violated the sixth commandment, which is thou shalt not kill. And they and the story is, it really is. It's almost something that too hard to believe. It's something that you'd think that was made up. And, you know, obviously it's not. And so let's talk a little bit about were you and your wife able to come in then and you know, I guess say her goodbye? I mean, she'd already passed away at this point, but were you able to come in and at least hold her hand or see her face for one last time?
I drove Cindy down to the hospital right away, and I couldn't come in because I had COVID. So Cindy and Jess cleaned Grace up, and our pastor met us there along with the funeral director. And after, this is really an important piece because it got us into there's something going on here. the pastor walked Cindy out in a wheelchair, and one of the nurses had Grace's belongings on a cart and leaned down and said to Cindy, "Me and several of the other nurses don't think Grace should have died today." That really tipped us off as to something happened. And, you know, now I've got 500 hours of research into this, and, you know, I've really drilled it down and posted all the, well, not all the research, but a good chunk of the research is on Grace's website.
So the hospital was St. Elizabeth's at Ascension. Has anyone from that hospital made an attempt to contact you and talk to you about this or answer any questions or, I mean, even, you know, I guess even anyone from their legal department reached out to you?
Well, no, not since this started, but originally after we figured out that they killed her, we summarized everything in letters and research and sent it all to them, requesting a meeting with the CEO and doctor on November 8th under the biblical responsibility to meet the person who caused the offense. And so we gave them all the research that we had at that time, which showed exactly what I'm saying. It's just we have a lot more now. But and on December 2nd, they wrote us back and said they're not going to meet. So that, I thought, was our green light to walk through the door and share this message. And it's unbelievable the doors that God keeps opening.
Well, I'm getting messages right now that questions are, do you need an attorney? Are you working with an attorney?
We're not yet. You know, I have not looked at that in a lot of detail because our urgency, when this happened and we realized what's going on, we saw a sense of urgency to have people not die the way Grace did, get educated. So that was the one thing that's urgent. But, you know, there's a lot bigger urgency, which is we're hoping that this story pricks people's hearts, because if it does, God can use this story to take you back or bring you back to Him. And so if this pricks your heart and say, oh my gosh, this is what's happening, and we've been duped by our government, there's only one person who will never dupe you. And so if this pricks your heart and it stirs your heart to start pursuing truth, pray. Pray that God keeps you pursuing and you'll end up with the one person who will never dupe you, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Yes, absolutely. Well, Scott, I'm looking at the clock and we're over time, but I want to take an opportunity to talk about the memorial rally that is happening tomorrow in Appleton from 9 to noon. Can you guide our listeners as to where it's being held and what they can expect at this rally?
Sure. So it's the city of Appleton has been very gracious to us. They're going to close down Monroe Street, which is right across from the wing of the hospital where Grace was killed. So there's going to be parking all around on the street. So just you'll see the big banners and everything, so it'll be easy to find. So if you just go to South Downtown Appleton, the address on the flyer, which is 1506 South Oneida, that's the hospital address. It's not obviously at the hospital, but there's a side street where the city has allowed us to shut down. And so what you can expect is we have a number of speakers, people who have had similar situations to us, some national speakers. Some of the national speakers that couldn't be there sent tapes in, like Stu Peters. And it's neat. We think that it's going to be a neat opportunity to show that we care enough to spread love. Mm-hmm. And that's really what's necessary here. We, you know, the ultimate justice, and this is really what we're hoping for, is that the people who are behind the agenda creating medical tyranny repent and become children of God. So that's really what this is about. So we're hoping that this might stir the pot a little bit with St. Elizabeth's, and maybe that will be what God uses to push them to repentance.
Yeah, those individuals who were directly involved that are employees of this hospital. The other part, I'm looking at the list of speakers, a large group of speakers, and you mentioned Stu Peters, but Dr. Brian Artis is a frequent guest on the program. I'm glad to see that he's participating. Tom Renz is an attorney, so I know that should you need someone to represent you, I know he's been instrumental in, I believe, in some of the representing some of our members of military with regard to their unwillingness to get the COVID shot. So, oh gosh, there's so much more we could talk about. Steve, what I would really like is for us to stay in touch, and I want you to come back and update our listeners on what's going on, because and we want to keep the flame of dear amazing grace burning, and to so that everyone remembers her, because let her death not be in vain. And that's, I know, what your objective is as well. And this story touches my heart, and I'm sure it does so many of our listeners. So I hope you'll stay in touch, Scott, and you have my cell phone number. So please keep in touch. And anytime you want to come on the show and update our listeners, you're always welcome to.
Well, Meg, that's quite a blessing. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless you. And I wish you, if I were able to, I'm on the air every day at 9 o'clock until 9 o'clock. But I would encourage our listeners, if you want to learn more about Our Amazing Grace, it's ouramazinggrace.net. So now, not only is she your amazing grace, Scott, your family's amazing grace, she's all of our amazing grace. And I will continue to pray for your family. And if you need anything from me, please let me know. I wish you a joyful day tomorrow at that rally in honor of your dear daughter, Grace.
Oh, thank you. Please join us. Anybody that's listening, we'd love to have you. Thank you.
Yeah, God bless you, and I'll talk to you again soon. I look forward to it, Scott. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Thank you. Bye.